Power, get onto your mic, cause we are recording now, and you are using a... I was going to finish that. You're using a day planner like Jessica Tandy.
I do. I remain in the 20th century when it comes to using a calendar.
Yes, and I will commend your penmanship. You are half Asian, so I figured you would have nimble little fingers capable of really cranking out some calligraphy, and I'm happy to see I'm correct there.
I believe that to be false, man. I got some pretty ugly handwriting. I believe this is only legible to myself, so...
Let me take a look.
I speak code
I was actually
myself.
Lying just to make my little Asian gag. Let me see.
Yeah. I mean, words are written down, but it's gibberish.
Yeah, yeah. I still beat you, but you're bad. I write like a doctor who's into his own Percocet. All right, it is Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood. Show site in papasbasement.com. If you like what you hear, go there, download all of the episodes. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher, like every other asshole podcast you have ever heard in your entire life.
Let's hurry this up, man. I got some...
Let's hurry it up. You gotta... What do you have to get back to?
I got some swing copters going on.
Oh my god. You really...
The successor to Flappy Birds, is that what it's called?
Flappy Bird. Yeah. It was called Flappy Bird.
Yeah, I was not unable to download that, so I found an alternative.
Well, yeah, they took the original Flappy Bird. This is going to be the best, most timely and relevant break of early 2014, if we go through with it. So let's do it. Yeah, Flappy Bird, I think everyone remembers that. It was a dumb little iPhone app with kind of purposely loose controls. I don't want to say bad controls, but the controls a little loose.
Yeah.
And you would just, when you hit like a jump button or something like that.
It was
that
basically,
on the
it was a jump button to help you hover in the middle. It was very Mario inspired in the graphics.
Yeah, you looked exactly like, hold on, I'm going to say a cheap.
Okay.
I believe that was the actual, that's how you knew you were a Nintendo nerd in the day. If you played Zelda and the kids were like, yeah, those bulldog guys in the woods, you're like, I'm sorry, did you mean moblins? If you knew the that powerful triangle, the Triforce, you dunce the Triforce. I believe the fishies were cheap, but I'm going to look that up right now. And if I get it, you, sir, owe me a blowjob.
We went together to see the video game.
Fuck her up, fruits.
Wow, that really is the slapbird. Is a cheap inspired motif.
Yeah. So the guy who put out Flappy Birds, as I recall, like was making, I mean, what was the story? He was making 100K a day off of it. Something.
I heard 50 G's.
Was it 50? Okay. Yeah. Oh, a mere 50 a day.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I could do. What is in the realm of things I can do as a person that would earn me even close to that?
You need to put AdSense on your freaking website.
That you you have some very sad ideas about the traffic my site gets, but I know what you're saying. The first step in a long journey, et cetera.
Well, that's number one. Number two is come up with some ridiculous game that causes people to constantly reload the page.
Yeah, the guy actually, as I recall, took down the app after like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Because he said, as much money as I'm making, I feel horrible that I'm responsible for people wasting this much of their life playing my dumb little game. Good to see he got over that.
Yeah, no, swing copters, I believe, is his next product.
Yeah. Funny how paying a couple bills all of a sudden throwing the rest of humanity under the bus. Not so bad.
He probably talked to his accountant and realized how much of that would go into taxes, so...
Exactly.
Now he's got to make up for the money that he thought he had
made. The mortgage on his castle was catching up with him. Oh, God. So good for that. Yeah, I'll let you get back to your swing copters. Now I'm just vividly picturing you dropping one earlier this morning. Pants around your ankles, fouling the air. iPad that's now inches from my face. Billowing fecal air about it.
No, that was last night. This morning's poop was of a different ilk.
Oh, really? Nice. Hot biscuit. No more odor than that.
No, I was checking out NFL scores. It was that kind of...
Oh, okay.
That kind of morning.
So you were defecating, and it did smell, and you were browsing the iPad. You just
no, I was using my phone. The answer was the phone.
Okay. All right. All right. Howard, I'm a big fan of evergreen shows.
Okay.
So how was your Halloween, but not your Halloween of 2014. See what I did there?
Well, I just moved, and, you know, I'm the type of person who moves every Halloween, so this is obviously something that will be relevant every year.
Do you really? Like, is your, you do the one-year leases and they're up? Like,
no,
right,
I'm good
Halloween?
Now. Okay. I think I'm settled for a few years now.
I think your girlfriend is happy to know that for a few years you're settled.
Well, I mean, as long as we're staying at this place. Basically, oh, okay. Like, so she's a homeowner now, which means no landlord, which is great.
Yeah, that does sound awesome. I think she's, what, has a condo? I mean, it always sounds like there's someone that you answer to. Like, if it's not the landlord, it's an HOA. She has, what, a condo board association?
You know what? A landlord is worse than a condo association. This is what I've learned. Because, yes, the condo association can get on your case. It'd obviously be nicer to have a single, standalone home, where even there you have a homeowners association, though it's less intrusive than a condo association. At any rate, like, the landlord is the worst because you have the security deposit. Like, I'm still fighting with my old landlord about, like, my previous security deposit. Mm. So this is constantly, like, an ebb and flow, I feel, of being a renter. It's something that I don't look forward to having to deal with ever again. And I'm glad to finally have that behind me.
Yeah, you know, I cut the Gordian knot by living with my mom. I don't know. That's not funny. It's just bad.
It's the plot of the show, man. That's like the underlying theme of every episode.
Yeah, God. I have been at home so much longer during the show's run than I lived on my own. If you listen to those first 2 years of the show, I lived on my own, and I was coming in every Saturday hungover, and I somehow thought that was a great show concept. Just me acting like I was too good for the air and not doing prep and bailing right. 30 minutes in. Because I had to have sunglasses on in the studio like effing Lou Reed. It was horrible. And as soon as I went home, yeah, the comedy started to flow. Maybe because I just needed to get the hell out of that, I don't know, that torment-filled igloo. I don't know what the hell to call it.
It's just what?
The house. The house I live in now.
Oh.
It's not good. It's small. My mom has horrible circulation. So, like, it's always hot. Just old people. They're like iguanas. Like, she just needs a goddamn heat rock at this point.
Oh,
they
man.
Just need to sell a heat rock recliner and a heat rock bed.
You need to look into this. Christmas is a coming, man.
She won't do it. She'll be all paranoid that she'll burn the house down with any, like, a space heater. She needs a walker with a space heater built in.
Your mom won't even use a space heater?
Oh, no, because that's how you burn your house down. And then you need the skin grafts.
You should check out some of the models available these days. Like, you got to be able to convince her that the modern ones are not from 1950.
Yeah, I know. My mom is convinced that if you use a space heater, you will wind up like Darkman.
No.
She's
no.
I never accused her of having the highest IQ.
I had a Crucial space heater I paid $60 for. It was basically a fan with a little electric
with an
heat
element.
Generator.
Exactly.
It was beautiful. It looked like a fan. There's no way that thing can fall over because it was designed not to fall over.
Yeah, well, that won't be happening in my house. So instead, it's just hot all the time and my airways are drying up. Because, like, during the... don't get me wrong. A part of this is she stocks a lot of bad food around the house. So I am, like, at my all-time fattest. And I will die soon because of this, by the way. We'll get into just how bad my health is due to all this stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I have, first of all, my pants really don't fit. Like, I had a customer that I saw a couple times last week.
Yeah.
At my big boy job. Well, I wouldn't call it big boy, but it's what pays my bills.
Right.
And she commented, like, man, I just never see you in long pants. Do you own any? And I wanted to explain, like, I do, but I think I'm too fat to fit into them this year, and I'm too proud to purchase a 40 waistband. I will stay at 38, even if it kills me. And right now I'm in a pair of 38s, and the button is dug into my waist like deeper than a bindi in an Indian's forehead.
Wow.
It does not feel pleasant, sir. And the whole weight thing now is to the point where I will wake myself with my snoring. Or it's apnea. Or I've just graduated to apnea. I don't really know what's going on, but I will wake up hearing the tail end of a snore. And I really can't sleep with my girlfriend anymore. Not the sexual sense. That wasn't happening for other reasons. But I cannot sleep alongside her because if I'm not waking myself up with my own apnea / snoring, she's just elbowing my ribs because I'm snoring.
That, yeah. I mean, I've had snoring issues before. That's definitely a sign. You need to lose 15 pounds.
Yeah, I'm working on it. The rub in that plan, food is delicious.
Yeah.
Especially Halloween candy.
Halloween's a rough time of year.
Dude, there is nothing worse than knowing you are eating yourself to death and there's just a bag of Reese's Cups in front of you, and with tears running down your face, you're just putting them in your mouth one after the other. Like, why do I hate me? Oh, God damn, you're so good.
Well, just to give, like, the boring health tip of the day that I can recommend, which would
help.
Don't
eat all the candy.
Well, no, it's just if you really want to, like, reduce the snoring as well as, like, heighten your metabolism, a cup of green tea at night, about an hour before you go to bed.
I used to drink green tea when I worked at Sirius over in D.C., yeah. And that stuff made me piss like I had done four lines. Like, what that did to my metabolism. I never had to crap like you would on blow.
Right.
But the pissing I did with one cup of green tea, and it was nightmarish because it was a job you simply couldn't leave the board. You
right.
had to stay at all times to play commercials. Otherwise, there was like 30 seconds of dead air, which would then set off an alarm up in New York. And then your ass was really in trouble. So, oh, God, I don't know if I could do that before bed. Like, if it makes me do the same thing that it did whatever brew they had over at Sirius, I'd be up every 90 minutes.
All right, well, in general, tea does help with opening up your airways before falling asleep. So if you have something else you can drink that won't make you
Tonight. Don't get me wrong. All what right. do I have to lose?
Right.
I mean, I'm not going
to... Sounds like you're not going to lose more sleep. Like, it might make you wake up to pee, but it sounds better than waking up in the middle of the night from snoring.
My sleep is already crap. If I shut the door, I roast in my little turd room. If I leave it open, the cats use me as a goddamn trampoline.
You, my friend, are a good candidate for a siesta lifestyle. Like, you really don't have a 9-to-5. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why you don't learn how to nap midday.
I do. It just screws my whole schedule. Then I'm up on Netflix or, like, Chatterbait.
Oh.
You know, like, last night, I... Okay. Not to sound too butch here and brag about how big the boys are. I skipped Sunday Night Football just to watch Catching Fire, the second of the Hunger Games films. Very enjoyable, by the way. Very enjoyable, especially now that I've seen her naked. Really adds a lot. Not going to lie there. So just all I could have wished for is at some point I saw Beast's dick in her mouth in this film too. But that's going to be confined to the pictures of the Fappening.
Okay.
If you haven't gone through the Fappening pictures, you didn't know that she dated the guy who played Beast in X-Men New Class or whatever it's called. That reference made no sense. But now I've killed all momentum to explain it. Let us proceed. So I finished that. And that was like at 1 a.m., but in real time, that's 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And then I'm like...
Because of daylight saving. Because we're trying to make this an evergreen.
Exactly. Daylight saving, not of 2014, of any year. And then I'm like, well, I'm not really tired yet. Let's toss on a little Homeland. So I watched that. And then I almost got into The Affair as well. But at this point, it was like 3 a.m. in real time, or 3:30. Real time, 2:30 on the clock, and I'm like, time to call it a day. Like, yeah, if I nap, dude, oh, do I go deep. I can do 4 a.m., no problem. Especially Chatterbait. Chatterbait is worse than Gone Wild. Like, Gone Wild used to eat my time. I don't want to get into it too much on air, but, dude, I am coming to terms with the fact I have horrible sex addiction, which sounds so made up. Everyone hears that, they're like, yeah, I like sleeping with beautiful ladies too, man. No, I have realized I look at porn and just wank one out, totally unrelated to me actually being horny. Completely a boredom, nervousness thing.
Yeah.
It's just a coping mechanism. It's just like, oh, I'm starting to feel real emotions, and this could be a time where I could be working on the website or writing something that'll better myself. Time to beat off again. It's so bad. It's so bad.
So what are you going to do about it?
I don't know. I mean, like, all right. This is where we get really funny unintentionally. I went to a meeting of SAA. The second and third letters are Addicts Anonymous.
Okay. I wasn't sure you, because, like, we talked about you going to therapy before, and I'm like, I don't know.
Therapy's worthless.
Okay. I just figured, like, you wouldn't even give it a shot with respect to, like, sex addiction.
I did.
Okay.
I did. Here's the problem with going to Sex Addicts Anonymous meetings.
I have a pretty strong idea of where this is going.
Maybe.
Okay.
Everyone's problems are about 1,000 times worse than mine.
Oh, okay.
Me on the grand spectrum of sex addiction when I'm like, well, I beat it too much to porn. They kind of want to laugh me out of the room. You know what I mean?
So you too would get a similar remark as Dave Chappelle did in Half Baked.
Exactly. You ever suck dick for weed?
I think in your case it would just be, you ever suck dick for coke?
Yeah.
Because I think that's really where sex addiction might really turn up the notch for a lot of people.
Well, I mean, you had married dudes who were just talking about like going to bars, cheating on the wife, things like that. And again, I'm not mentioning names. I am not mentioning any names. This is all anonymous. I'm not even going to describe the people who told these stories. There's one guy who's like, a lot of people couldn't drive by pools. They couldn't go to the mall because they were just ogling women, but for hours on end.
Oh, hours. All right. Because I'm like, I kind of like drive down the street.
They would just drive to a mall to look at chicks for like 4 hours. They're like, you know, sometimes I think I need to buy some 9 volts. And then I really have to examine my motivations here. Do I really need those 9 volts? And I'm like, wow, that is deeply disturbed.
I mean, I had to break it to you, but that, I don't see much difference between that and you like staying up at unholy hours in order to like watch porn that you really didn't need to check out. Because I understand, yeah, like it happens, especially in your early 20s when your sex drive is overactive. But
yeah,
yeah, man, this has been going on for like more than a decade. So
I have had problems with this crap since I went to college and yeah. I got a T3 connection and a desktop to call my own.
I mean, this happens to a lot of dudes in college, but yeah, for a lot of them, I think by age, what, 26, 27,
Is there a grow out time on porn? I don't really know.
I think like we're seeing less and less of it where, I mean, it's not like that you stop looking at it, but it's more like you should now talk to girls, even if it's just on Tinder.
Well, I do. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, I've got my girlfriend. I'm sure she's loving hearing this, by the way. I won't have a girlfriend by the time this episode airs, but I have one in the present. And yeah, before that, I was for the longest time, you know, I could do all this and then I'd still fool around with chicks. But it was in a very unhealthy way. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, I'm going to hook up with you. It's never going to be all that serious. I was a lousy boyfriend for the most part, if it ever got that far. Usually I would just meet chicks and like we would F around for 2 weeks. And because I was getting a lot of like borderline personality disorder cases.
Yeah.
Like, they were hot and they were smart, but they're also crazy.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'd do them for a couple weeks. They'd get sick of me. And
they'd
then
flip out at you once and then you'd just.
Usually it was like by the second time you're having sex, 3 days in, because that's healthy.
Yeah.
They'd say, like, I love you or something like that. And I'm like, well, this is a little fast. And then 2 weeks later, they would be completely ice cold on me and never talk to me again.
Yeah.
That is the magic of borderline personality disorder, which they're also into very degrading and dehumanizing sex. Now, not everything is bad about borderline personality disorder. Yeah, they could take a choking. So,
what about a Cleveland steamer? No?
I've never gone the feces or the pee-pee route.
Were these ever requested where you're like, maybe next time, and then you never called her back?
The deuce never, the number onesie once or twice.
Were you like, maybe next time we take a shower?
At the time, I really didn't. And in retrospect, I'm like, why didn't I? who am I? Prince Harry? Come on, piss on the bitch. Have fun with it. You're a middling DJ on a public access station.
Still on your bucket list for when we make that sequel to the Jack Nicholson Morgan Freeman movie. So
exactly. Fill the bucket list. Yeah, so hey, between the eating myself to death and porning myself to all hours of the night, it's been bad.
Okay.
It's been bad. It's weird though, because as these spiral out of control, I've been more and more productive.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm getting more done day to day. It's just I'm destroying myself behind the scenes because I'll never allow myself to really achieve anything, Howard. So by the time I do accomplish anything, I will be 300 pounds and dead and completely devoid of semen.
Oh, man.
Ugh. Shall we, speaking of gone too soon, I know that you weren't a fan of the man's work. You're not a metalhead like me.
Yeah, no, I was unaware of this story.
All right, let's play it. This is like taps for this story. This is Push It by Static X. Wayne Static, 48 years old, gone over the weekend, died, dead, gone. Like, if I knew that Monty Python parrot sketch, I would kind of quote that. He ceased to be.
Would he even die of, like, a heart attack or what?
It rhymes with a hug overdose. I'm going to guess that's what he died of. Same way Dave Brocky, when they're like, they just found him in a chair, dead at age 50. I'm like, have you ever seen the ending of Dead Presidents? He was probably watching an old Soul Train with milk over his eyes. Yeah, Wayne Static, he is no moss. I don't know if Wayne really did much in his career. I've kind of tapped out on music in general, but metal even before that. But I remember Push It coming out in about, it was 99. I had like just gotten to college. And you listen to this song. Let me bring it back up for a second. This is a fine slab of pop music. And it sounds weird to call this pop because it has such a hard sound, but it is. Listen to this song structure. This song is 2.5 minutes long.
I mean, I'll put it this way, man. I'm listening to it. I can definitely feel like
this
is what Rob Zombie was kind of ripping off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was this whole industrial metal thing that was like Ministry kind of came out with it. Rob Zombie ripped him off. And then like Rob Zombie's brother, Spider, ripped him off and did Power Man 5000.
Oh, jeez.
And Static X kind of ripped off Power Man. It was like all this weird, I don't know, industrial metal pop type thing.
I mean, once you create a genre, really, like, how far can you explore the boundaries within before you start to just do something altogether different? I mean, if you're going to be within a genre, like, there's going to be overlap. But to me, yeah, that definitely, I would probably rather listen to that than most of what I heard from Rob Zombie.
It was a catchy tune.
Yeah.
Like, there is no way wrestlers in the early 2000s didn't come out to that song.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That song means business. Like, it makes me want to, like, dance and worship Satan. That is a good slab of metal pop. And it's weird because, again, Wayne Static had great hair, by the way. If you Google Wayne Static, he looks like Dane Cook meets Guile from Street Fighter.
Wow.
I'll show you a picture. How's that? It'll blow your mind.
Just put it on the website, man.
I will. And then I won't secure the copyright for that picture, and we'll be sued. Yeah, here you go. There's a million Wayne Static photos right there. Look at that hair. Look at that plumage.
Oh, okay.
I loved it. So, I'm like, I hear the guy dies. I think it was Saturday night. It was starting to make the rounds on Twitter. And, you know, I'm reading a couple interviews with him. And it dawned on me, the guy was like, and not in a bad way, but he was like every rock star cliche. Like, they still lived on in this guy. Like, I could have been reading an interview with Axl Rose from 91 during the Use Your Illusion tours with Metallica. And, like, it wouldn't have changed. And it just dawned. Like, rock stars are just a different species, man. They truly are. I'm going to give you some highlights from the... Because the whole thing was Static X, I guess, broke up.
Okay.
And there's a dude, Tony Campos, I think, was a co-founder. And he starts going on about how Tony was charging him such heavy royalties. He was, he had a hernia because he had to, Wayne was playing six nights a week, he claimed, in order to pay off Tony. And even that wasn't enough. And then he sold his house to pay off Tony. And that wasn't enough. So finally he's like, screw it. I'm just going to go out on a solo career. That part is me rambling and I didn't really convey anything with it. And I apologize. But it was this whole characterization of, like, Tony being an evil dude. There's nothing better than a band split, if you ask me, the way, like, Axl hates Slash and stuff like that, even though these guys came up boys. I cannot wait till we're so big that we do that. And we're just mother-effing each other in the press. But it goes on. hold on. So then I'm reading more about him, and it's like he had a drug problem. He had to. He's a musician.
Right.
It's a prerequisite. Then it turns out he married a porn star, like a goth porn star. And I love how there is zero self-awareness on Wayne Static's part. That is just kind of another rock star trait. They will talk about things that they do where you hear this stuff and you're like, no effing S that your buddies were annoying that this was going on. Let me describe. He starts talking about his wife, or I guess, yeah, well, now widow, Tara Ray, W-R-A-Y, which I'm sure Wayne Static is going to enjoy the fact from up above, the unintended side effect of his suicide is that everyone Googled his wife and masturbated to her after learning she was a porn star. Guilty. Guilty. So, well, I want... This is Wayne Static talking about his porn star wife. Well, I wanted Tara on tour with me, so she was always with me. Sounds great already.
Yeah,
this
band,
is a metal band.
Bandmates love that.
This is a metal band, not you two. They don't have 15 greyhounds in a fleet. So it's you and the boys, and then your wife's just there. Let's continue. She was with me during interviews, too. Fun. I mean, she was part of the band, this Yoko who can suck a dick. So why shouldn't she be part of the interviews? We love each other. I want to have her with me at all times. Now, already, this sounds like a 14-year-old describing their first girlfriend. I love her. I want her there all the time. No recognition of boundaries. This is a 45-year-old man during this interview. 46.
There is the part where it's like, what's going to happen when she's by herself, like, kind of underlying this, I feel. Yeah. Like, is she going to screw someone else when I'm not around? She's going to be with me all the time.
It's some form of insanity.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way, as a reasonable adult, you can think that your friends would be cool with this 24/7. Unless it was that miracle thing where they just got along perfectly with your chick. In which case, welcome to just being worried as hell that they're going to start effing behind your back. Okay. She came on stage and danced for a few songs. And I think Tony didn't like that. Really? Really? Your wife just pulls her ass out and she starts shaking it to Static X on stage. And you're like, yeah, babe, that's great. And the rest of the band is just like, what the F, man? Really, what the F? Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Your chick could come in and start dancing and I would just be like, this is weird and awkward. We're recording an episode. I think he thought she's not in the band. She shouldn't be here. sounds okay to me, Wayne. Sounds pretty goddamn insightful. But the reality of it was we'd do interviews and she'd just sit there. Well, that sounds goddamn awkward, too. That sounds effing weird, too. He didn't like the fact that she was around all the time. That's his prerogative. You're the one doing this to poor Tony.
Poor Tony.
Like, I hear this, and I'm like, there's a total cognizance, is that the word I'm looking for, of what was going on? Like, he knows everything that did trigger the piss off, but then there's no recognition of, yeah, maybe he had a right to be pissed about this. It's just like, well, this is everything I wanted, and my bandmate didn't want it. F him. I love it. I read this 3 times. I couldn't get enough of it. This is a man who's, again, almost 50. He didn't like the fact that she was around all the time. For all I know, maybe he thought he should have hooked up with her. Again, as a porn star, I'm sure she was Fort Knox, and ended up married her. So maybe he's jealous. I don't know. I don't effing know. I could give an S if we did an interview and his girlfriend was sitting next to us. Again, I would be okay with him doing this. Why isn't he okay with me doing it? The golden rule. Everyone like what I like. The funny thing is, before we got married and she was a porn star, she rode with us on the bus for a whole year and everyone loved her then. Really? Everyone loved the single porn star in their bus, Wayne? I love this. I know you are just sitting there bored. I couldn't get enough of this interview. Everything was awesome. Then we got married and everything changed. I don't know why. Here's a hint, Dead Wayne. You got married. You can call up Tony and interview him to ask why he hates me so much. And then Wayne laughs.
So is there an interview with Wayne, or you haven't really followed up with where Wayne stands on this death?
No, Wayne's the dead one.
I'm sorry.
Wayne stands 6 feet under the dirt on this death.
So this is why he's laughing now. This is not is this a post-death interview or no?
No, this is just like from a couple years before
okay,
he died.
Okay.
I'm just reading it, and it was like just this total... That is what I want in a rock star. Just completely, like, somehow so stupid and yet able to make music that I never could make. Like, that is what you want out of your musicians, is it not?
You have to be careful with that because he made those tracks that they're now famous for. How many years ago? Like, oh, they're still making money off of things that are much older. And so that happens to a lot of rock stars where they just, they basically blow their load and they're done. And they don't realize that as you get older, it's much harder to make innovative creations. So at that point, it becomes kind of a weird, I don't know, I want to call it psychosis, but there is something that would be really disturbing to think you're on top of the world and then to suddenly like lose the magic and you just don't know how to churn out the hits anymore.
Well, again, when you're just, you lack any shred of self-awareness, it must be even worse. Like,
yeah.
I know why I'm in my crappy rut. Trust me, I'm talented, but I know why I'm here. Like, Wayne, like a guy who, yeah, in 99 was completely ascendant. Like, he really could have broken through. This was before pop and hip-hop just completely dominated the charts. And it was back when you could sell a CD or two. I mean, like, that album, Wisconsin Death Trip, That was the one that contained Push It and was like their, I want to say their first big release and was getting some numbers. And like, yeah, after that, the dude's doing nothing. It was the same thing again with Power Man 5000. Like, that was a band that was poised to break through right around 2000, 2001.
Right.
Had a lot of hits, or at least a couple that were huge, man. Worlds Collide. You've heard Worlds Collide a million times.
I wouldn't say a million times.
You've heard it.
Yeah.
You know it. Power Man, the last few years, do you know how I know of them?
Your brother opened for them.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
As they played a venue that holds maybe 250 people.
Yeah.
Times are tough, man.
Well, metal's not exactly the most happening of genres at the moment.
Yeah, this is not 91 where Megadeth is getting a number two record and the Black Album is the top album in the country for a month. You're absolutely right, but it's still weird to me that they can't even do a 9:30 club, for God's sake. Like,
really? I
to
mean,
hurt.
To me, like, you say this, and I'm like, you're batty, man. Like, I've never been that big a metalhead. We've been friends for a very long time, and I've just indirectly been able to follow it through you. But for me, it's
a weird thing. I feel like being a fan of metal, and again, not that I'm a huge fan to this day, but I'll listen to it, and it still speaks to me really more than almost any genre. And I listen to everything now. You can put on, like, some queer old jazz. I love that.
I mean, I'll tell you my view of metal. And I mean, I don't mean to bring up a sore subject for everyone who's listening, including you. But I think for most people, like, the veneer and mystique of metal as this, underground sort of view of the world and all this was completely exposed the moment that Metallica went after Napster. And you could just hear that, like, these are just music industry professionals. And, you know, the story you just told where Wayne and Tony are fighting over royalties. I mean, this ceases to be like some sort of...
They're not fighting the man. They're fighting each other.
Yeah, no, this is just like these are well-educated members of the music industry, like working out business affairs through their agents and other suits. So it's hard to be fully excited when the leaders of the freaking movement is Metallica. Like, because they were such professionals through and through. When GNR was falling apart because they couldn't stand each other, Metallica was just toughing it out and doing their business. They go after Napster and basically undermine, in my view, the future growth of metal. Because since they were the headliners up to that point,
You're saying appeal. They undercut the entire genre.
That is my theory. You can choose to not agree with it. I'm sort of just speculating on that, but that's my personal feeling.
I think by that point,
why I stopped giving it a chance.
Pretty much people realized it was Metallica Inc. You know what I mean? I don't think they're going to look at them as a bunch of rebellious kids from the Bay Area when they're 40-year-old men.
It just becomes very difficult to buy into much of a metal scene anywhere after that happened, I feel. I don't know. I've gone and seen some metal shows since then, but it just really feels like since Metallica took on Napster, you haven't really seen heavy metal succeed in America.
I mean, I don't know what does succeed anymore. I'll be honest. I guess what some form of hip hop is still around. I listen to it. I'm like, this ain't the Public Enemy I love.
Yeah, it's weird. It's definitely just who can make the cheapest beats and get it uploaded to iTunes the fastest. Because it's not high grade production.
Well, you don't sample at all anymore. It's like God, who is
samples
it?
Are expensive. Number one.
Yeah.
But number two, it's so easy to create.
It's a cheap beat. Who was it that was into that around 99, 95? Was it Manny Fresh and the Hot Boys? Like, Manny Fresh was the producer for that whole... who was it? Juvenile and Lil Wayne. Were they part of the Hot Boys? Was that kind of the system?
You would know better than me on that one.
Yeah, and he would throw together these crappy Casio beats. Some of them were great. God, Juvenile's Ha is still a masterpiece.
Yeah.
But yeah, now that is just the norm. No one samples anymore. Maybe they do an underground hip hop. Like I'm speaking from my girlfriend will toss on a Drake song every so often. I'm just like, what is this garbage?
No, sampling is a very rigid system now. It's very difficult to get on mainstream radio with a sample because you got to pay up front before it even comes out. So guaranteed revenue for the thing you're sampling before you even like write the thing, basically. So
yeah.
I mean, honestly, they're at the point now where if you want to sample something, you have to have backups lined up for that sample because you may not be able to get the one you want. That's the new mainstream label approach.
That's horrible.
So
you obviously would only have one sample that you think will work for the song.
And then like you just have to come up with backups, basically, or you have to pay somebody to come up with a similar thing that isn't the same, and they just engineer something that gives you the same feel, quote unquote.
I'm going to go deep on you. There's only one song that has ever worked with two different samples, and that would be the Geto Boys' Gangster of Love, originally rapped over Sweet Home Alabama, and later put over Steve Miller's Gangster of Love. And you know what? It worked both ways, but that's because of the sterling lyricism of Bushwick Bill and Mr. Scarface.
Yeah, I as far as other things that are popular right now, millennials really seem to enjoy like hard hitting vocals, I guess. I don't know how to describe it, but you know, the American idolization of pop music. I guess they just really want to hear somebody who can belt.
Well, there's that, and then there's the I don't know. As a smart white dude, I kind of always felt bad that I appreciated metal. It was almost like saying you're into ICP or wrestling. You know, like it was almost a shameful thing you had to admit. And don't get me wrong, whenever I went to a concert, it's not like I walked around and I'm like, is this not a ballroom filled with Mensa members? I can't tell. No, I was with my fellow blue-collar dregs. But
But there was a subversive underground culture, and like, who's really spearheading that like underground mentality at this point?
I have no clue. Yeah. I mean, I've kind of tapped out on the scene again. Like, I don't even have my liquid metal from my Sirius XM unit anymore because they took the headphone jack out of my Honda Civic. So I can't actually plug my unit in. I can just use it as a shortwave radio, the same way you would buy one of those microphones. You know what I'm talking about? That would let you speak into the mic and it would broadcast to any radio within 3 feet if you set it to like 87.5 or some other nothing station. I don't know, man. I don't know. And by that, I don't know what we're going to talk about. Oh, wait, I do. Because we've prepped. We've prepped a ton. I want to talk about something that really... This is a topic I had been saving for another friend of mine because I cheat on you and sometimes I do shows without you.
I would like you to do more shows without me.
My friend Othello. But you know what? I wanted to get to this before it was completely not timely. Again, okay. This is an evergreen episode.
Yes.
So this might be about the viral video called 10 Hours of a Woman Walking in NYC. That came out in 2017, whenever you're listening to this. I am certainly acknowledging this video might have come out in 2014, but maybe they've done a yearly update.
I have heard of this. I have not sat through it.
Let me introduce it to you. A chick sets up a camera. I guess that was offensive of me saying chick. A broad sets up a camera. This is just how I talk. I'm not even doing that for comedic effect. All right. A woman sets up a camera, I guess, in front of her, or like a dude is walking with a backpack that has a camera facing onto her, and she films herself walking around the streets of NYC.
So the guy's in front of her?
Yeah.
She's just following this dude.
We just see her from the front.
Okay.
And my first completely piggish reply to this video is, she's not even that great looking. You should be happy men were whistling at you.
All right. What was she wearing?
She was wearing nothing that wild. Let me, I'm going to kill the audio for a second so I can actually see her. Oh, okay. They describe it in the video. 10 hours of silent walking through all areas of Manhattan, wearing jeans and a crew neck t-shirt.
Okay.
It's all black. She has black hair. I don't know, maybe part Latin, Jew broad, Italian, something like that.
Sunglasses or no?
No sunglasses.
So she's making eye contact. Or no?
No. She's just walking by.
Okay.
And guys are hollering, kind of like a ZZ Top video.
Interesting.
Yes. Let's play a little of the audio.
Okay, great.
And then we'll dissect it, because this is the second time. It's actually a Facebook friend of mine who keeps liking these videos, and I'm noticing a trend in what she likes.
Okay.
And I click on what she likes, and then I get really mad. So here we go. This is the catcall video that's 2 weeks old at this point, but what the hell.
How are you doing today?
A man says,
smile.
How are you doing today? And then a bunch of guys say, smile. Sounding like Lil Wayne, pretty much. So she keeps walking. What's up, beautiful? Have a good day.
Hey, what's up, girl? How you doing? Somebody's acknowledging you.
God bless you, mommy. There's a lot of background audio on this. It's making for very poor radio. I apologize in advance. Do you want to listen to more?
I guess my initial reaction, what's great is I can't see this,
mm-hmm.
but I already feel like there is a cultural misunderstanding going on.
Yeah. I'm glad you noticed that, too.
Because it does seem quite heavy on men who appear to have an African-American inflection pattern.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you keyed in pretty much on what I noticed. And the end of the video explains 100-plus instances of verbal street harassment.
In 10 hours.
Yeah.
So about 10 per hour.
Now, mind you...
That were condensed into a YouTube video of how long.
Yeah. The video itself is 1 minute 56 seconds.
Okay.
And not only that, some of the quote-unquote harassment, I believe, was simply being told hi. That's it. That was harassment. Or even a passing damn.
I understand that there's the subtext of all these, like, things that were said to her of, like, hey, holla back. Like, what's going on? Like, I'm going to say something to see if you say something back. Because in reality, I think you don't do that sort of thing unless you've mm-hmm. had some success with it. And that's the reality of, I think, some of the problem that some women have with this is that it actually works sometimes. You may be 100% opposed to, like, meeting a random dude on the street, and yet I imagine that most of these dudes at some point have been able to start a conversation with a woman based on hello.
Yeah. That you mean that term of just disgusting harassment known as saying hello to a woman? How disgusting and horrible it is? Here's what I love. 100-plus instances. This is a little placard or a little bit of text that they put up at the end of the video. 100-plus instances of verbal street harassment took place within 10 hours involving people of all backgrounds. I love how they couldn't sneak that in fast enough. Now, Maybe there was someone of every background. Maybe a goddamn Eskimo said, I want to take you and bang you on the sled. But 95% of what I heard, now, unless Wentworth Farthington IV of Yale talks like this, damn, girl, I got a black thing for you to sit on. Unless that's how white men talk lately, I too noticed a trend in the majority of the people whistling at this woman. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. God bless the brothers and their confidence. But please, please don't toss like every white guy you walked past was doing this. Please don't pull out the... This was every background was represented, every economic, you know, like even a blind guy whistled at my ass. Don't give me that. I don't need it. Just say you were whistled at by a lot of Latino and black dudes. It ain't racist. It's what we saw in the video, for God's sake. Now, to call that harassment, out of all the crap that I saw in that video, do you know the one horrible thing? There was a dude that tried to pick her up and like walked alongside her. She didn't acknowledge him. And he walked with her for 4 minutes. That's creepy beyond belief. That is absolutely harassment.
The guys who said smile, that's more of the intermediate problem, if you will. But it's not hello, but it's like smile. You're telling a woman to smile.
Yeah.
Hey, smile.
Sacha Baron Cohen made a movie where he goes, smile, pussycat, to a chick. You know what I like? It's just old world. I don't know what the... It is not harassment.
I can't call that harassment. It's definitely rude, but it's...
It's rude. Exactly. Please stop belittling the word harassment.
Yeah.
By,
it's this whole postmodernist project to change the dialogue, yeah, change the terminology.
In five
it's
years,
annoying.
We're going to call that word rape. Well, then, you know what? It slightly plays down what it is when a man holds down a chick and forces his cock inside her.
Yeah, like some of the, we need to change the terminology that's being used goes overboard because it ignores, like, the need for language to reflect accurately what's happening. And that's not necessarily what's going on for all these instances.
And you, by the way, you completely hit it on the head when you were saying, I really forgot what I was going to say. You said hit it on the head. Hold on, let me scan. This is what happened to my brain nowadays. It's because I'm a sleepless wreck, I guess. Man,
it's I was talking about the spectrum from hello to smile all the way to like walking next to a woman for 4 minutes.
No, I remember what you said. You're completely correct. I think some people are upset that this behavior is in no way construed as harassment by a lot of women, and it has worked for these men. Again, you're absolutely right. Like, I really, the chicks who are completely offended by this, I absolutely want to hear what you think works for a guy to go out there and, like, get a woman. Like, if a beautiful woman walks by him on the street, what is he supposed to do? Like, I want you to hear, or I want you to tell me what a man who sees a woman that he thinks is stunning is supposed to do that is not harassment. Because lumped into this video were guys walking by and saying, hey, like that. If he can't do that, what is he supposed to do? I mean, is he supposed to just be this gender-neutral eunuch?
I'm actually going to get on the side of women who say that this is annoying. Because I understand this. Like, thinking from the perspective of, like, I am so tired of every dude thinking by just being like, what's up? They have a chance. Because yeah, it's just like, this gets tiring. I got a life to lead. I'm going to end up with somebody probably. That's probably the expectation that you have if you get whistled at that much. But anyway, like, if you're just getting hit up that much, you're probably looking to meet someone in a context of your choosing, which is, you know, let's say you're a professional attorney. I work with a lot of attorneys. So you might want to meet people in a professional context where you're like, I want to try to date people in similar circles as opposed to just like random dude at the subway station. Like, I have, what is it about you that I can learn happening to walk down a Manhattan street that is going to make me want to talk to you more? Because, like, appearance is great. You know, you can go to a bar if you're a woman and hear a guy who's, like, a fantastic singer, you know, just strumming guitar, singing away. But guess what?
If they're seeing one of your live performances, they can continue.
I'm just saying, like, yes, that's fun. Maybe women could go for a fling with a guitarist singing at a bar in New York. But more likely than not, if they're paying the insane rates that it costs to get a drink at night in Manhattan, they may not necessarily want to date the guy who's the entertainment that night. They may be trying to meet other young professionals in that same context. So I look at the way that women want to meet men as being the complete opposite of, like, random dude talks to me on the street. There's nothing about meeting someone randomly on the street that tells you anything other than physical attraction.
Absolutely.
For men, that's all they need, because all men tend to care about, honestly, is like getting in there one time.
Well, it's all
who
you,
cares what happens the next day?
Not even that. It's all you need to at least determine, I want to talk to her. Maybe 30 seconds into the conversation where this woman responds to you saying, hello, may I talk to you for a minute? Maybe you realize you don't want to talk to her.
What always disturbed me is, like, based on appearance, I cannot tell if a woman is a genius or a moron. And so, to me, it was always unsettling, the idea that, like, based solely on appearance, I'm going to talk to you in the hopes that, like, we can have a conversation. That, to me, sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Because it's such a crapshoot. I mean, yes, like, I have happened to talk to women at bars where it's like, oh, hey, what's up? And it continues to evolve where I'm like, you know what? This is interesting. What's your number? That's the sort of thing that can happen occasionally. But, like, for every dude that you see on the street to feel like, oh, this is my moment, this is my time to shine, I'm going to just be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
That has to get annoying. I'm going to have to defend women who are pissed that this happens to them every day when they walk down the block.
look, I'm sure it's annoying, but it's just human nature. Like, Carlos the sanitation worker, he's probably not going to be in your courtroom unless he's, like, trying to weasel out of child support as I as I dive down the stereotype rabbit hole. Maybe he wants to take a crack at your hot lawyer ass. What's... is because he's not a lawyer, he's not allowed to talk to you? What is this, 1984?
It's just extremely tiring.
The alphas and the betas don't mingle? I mean, what the hell?
No, it's one of those... To me, the biggest problem is, like, why do you have to try this with every woman you're attracted to? Like, what is the goal of getting through your day? Basically just trying to find tail for that evening. Like, yeah. That is a bizarre way to live. Like, why can't you just find, like, one piece of A and, like, hit that for the next decade? How about that? Let's try for 5 years.
What?
How about
what
two?
What was it the slave would whisper in the ear of the guy who got a triumph in Rome? Was it, like, sick Gloria transit? Was that
I
it?
I think that's it.
Glory fades. Glory passes.
Yeah.
Someone needs to walk behind these women and be like, sick, firm breasts and ass, transit. You know what, honey? In 20 years, no one's going to be bothering you. This is a problem that solves itself. How about you enjoy it while it's here? Because in 20 years, Carlos's son, Felipe, won't give a crap to get in your old pants. your big spread mom ass. It won't be appealing to anyone.
Sure, it's a double-edged sword. You know, there's that desire to, like, have men constantly, well, maybe not constantly look at you, but, you know, for over the years, like, yo, I still got it. That's a nice feeling when you're 50, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's what kills me about this. They're bothered as hell by it at 25, and I'm not saying they're, like, the whole gender, just these women in particular who are bothered by it. And then, like, what, 20 years later, they're on Craigslist trying to hotwife around? You know, it's stupid because they want anyone to acknowledge they're attractive. People like that.
I think it's fair to say from their perspective, isn't there a better way to meet women, dude? Like, can you find something other than, like, randomly walking up to women until one's like, oh, and, like, decides to speak back to you? There has to be a better way, because to me, there's such a low percentage possibility of a successful relationship being born out of, like, meeting at a street
corner. You're 100% right. The only thing I can say is I respect the balls that these guys have. I love how these women construe it as, like, being assaulted with words. And how dare these guys say that? It takes guts.
It doesn't take guts. They're just donkeys, man.
Like, I guess if you're dumb, it doesn't take guts. For a guy like me, I just don't engage in this, but it's because I don't have a pair of stones.
Yeah, no, you and I, see, we have always approached bars differently, I feel. I think, like, one of the big differences that you and I had, like, coming up early on, like, in our early 20s, going out together. I don't know if you remember me buying shots for girls that ended up just laughing in my face after they got their free drink.
Oh, I would have been livid.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever had that experience?
No, I barely buy booze for my male friends, though. Like,
I'm just saying, like, this is a behavior that
I would never buy liquor for a woman or anything for a woman expecting anything in return, but I know I'd be so sour if they weren't, like, then engaging me in conversation afterward that I simply don't do it.
I mean, no, I'm talking about, like, look, woman lets you buy a drink for her. Yeah, you're going to talk a little bit, but she might laugh in your face. She might straight up be like, you are a fool. There's something wrong with you.
I think that's a form of harassment, because that woman, I'm being serious. That is this logic. That woman feels, you've made her feel like she owes you something because you just purchased her something.
She don't owe me anything. She can say no. If you just, like, send a drink to a woman, that's bold.
The same way that this chick can just ignore the guys that catcall her.
It's different when you're walking down the street versus going to a bar. That is a massive difference between going to a bar.
Give it 5 years. Give it 5 years, and according to these people, it won't be.
I mean, there's...
Mark my goddamn words.
There's a big difference between, can I buy you a drink, and the bartender going up to a chick saying, the gentleman at the end of the bar has sent this to you.
Okay, so you did, can I buy you a drink?
Absolutely.
You know what? In 10 years, that'll be harassment.
No, you're ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I'm not. You think this was harassment 20 years ago?
I'm sure there are certain bars and lounges where you're not really supposed to go and be like, hey, what's up? But I'm sorry, it's a public place where people are purchasing drinks. You don't want me to come talk to you? Don't drink in public, all right? Stay at home with your friends. Don't come out here. Like, a bar is a place where people are supposed to engage in conversation, meet new people. That is a bar to me. You're not sitting at, like, a dinner table and I'm interrupting a meal. you're sitting in a lounge, and if there's an open spot for somebody, I might come and ask if that seat's taken, all right? That's the way that a bar works. It's very different from the street where it's like, I have to use this sidewalk to get to my place of work from the subway.
It is moving to where we're all going to be bald eunuchs in those little tubes that you saw in the Matrix.
No, I'm just saying, like,
words. If you ever see Quest for Fire, that's what picking up a girl used to be in the day. You'd be like, I could rape you, or I could beat you with a club and then rape you. And that was picking up in the day.
I'm just saying, there's a better way to meet women than just, like, hollering at every chick who walks past you on the sidewalk.
I could not agree more. I 100% could not agree more.
It's time and place. This is all I'm saying. Time and place. The place is not, like, walking down the street. All right? That's weird. It's kind of creepy and aggressive.
It is taking a shot. It is throwing up the ball from half court at the buzzer.
You have next to no shot. And just because one in a thousand women might.
And if it goes in, there's nothing more glorious.
But, no, like from the guy's perspective, I understand. Like, you do have a shot with some woman out there because she would respond to, like, whatever game you throw when you see a random stranger walk by that you're attracted to. But for most women, this is not even a consideration. It's just like, this dude just walked up.
Maybe she's got a sexual problem. Maybe she's a nympho. You've got a shot.
That's not healthy.
This is not healthy. This is like when the guy gets a chance to put it up from half court for $500,000.
His chances are lower than that with most women.
If it goes in, they're playing it on SportsCenter all day.
See, but you're talking about the same bucket every time. Like, I'm talking about, like, of all the women who walk down the street, how many would actually talk to a dude that just came up on the street?
I don't know. You never know until you try. That's America. That's America, goddammit.
No, like, I totally understand why your way of thinking is a problem to, like, the women who made this video. I actually do. Because, like, the way you're looking at it is so flawed, in my opinion. I just don't agree with this at all. Just because you have a chance with some woman on the street, that does not give you the entitlement to approach any woman on the street, okay? That's a big difference. Because so many women are just like, there's a 0% chance I would talk to a guy who just walked up to me on the street.
Until they put an app on a smartphone that says, I'm looking for it, and, you know, your little smartphone dings when you walk by these certain women who have the app, and it says, like, hey, Carlos the Garbage Man, I'm down for you. Until that happens, this stuff will happen. And again, my behaviors do not line up with these guys whatsoever.
But you sympathize with their position entirely.
I do. I do 100%. Because short of, like, stalking them or, like, doing anything to really physically threaten them or make them feel uncomfortable physically, if someone walks past you and says something and it could be construed as complimentary and that offends you and you feel violated by it, that's the world, dude. I don't know what to tell you. Sometimes people say things you don't like.
Yeah, getting back to, like, what was actually said to the woman in some of the clips you posted.
Yeah.
Some of it is just complimentary, in a way. I mean, it's just, like, it's hard to equate all of it. It's like with the NFL right now. So, like, we have this whole NFL violence in the NFL hashtag, basically. It's a trending topic of, like, what's wrong with the NFL? What are we talking about? Everybody's getting clustered together is the messed up thing. So everybody's talking to Ray Rice. That's bad. He punched his wife. And they have video of it.
Yeah.
Now Adrian Peterson's getting thrown in there. Yes, like, physical injuries to his kid that he, like...
His kid's beanbag. I think that's what really drives it home for
people. Yeah. Yeah, no,
like, he had a shredded ball sack and ass.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not about the idea of corporal punishment. It went too far. Whereas, like, you can't punch your wife ever. That's just not...
Yeah, I'm not going to make that argument.
It's just, that's the problem, though. It's just, like, it's not that... He isn't allowed to discipline his kid. He went too far. Versus, like, you just punched your wife, dude. But let's take it the other degree further. This is the thing I hate the most about this whole NFL story. Because, like, they're now basically being almost thrown into the same category. And perhaps less so than Aaron Hernandez. Who is on trial for murdering people. Multiple people.
That's...
And we don't even talk about him right now. That guy killed people. That is so wrong. And yet, you don't even hear a whiff of that story because it's NFL violence. And that one's sort of, like, out of the limelight for some reason.
That is the slippery slope of condemnation, dude. When you condemn little behaviors, you make them closer and closer in the minds of people to huge behaviors that really do deserve condemnation.
Yeah.
Lena Dunham right now, do you know what she's going through?
What's that?
Again, this is an evergreen episode.
Right.
This isn't happening to Lena Dunham on November 3rd, 2014. She was talking about, as a kid, she would pay her little sister in candy to kiss her, and like once or twice she would masturbate in bed next to the little sister. And like one time she like, I don't know, shoved something in her little sister's snatch. I don't know if you've ever been a little kid. That's just little kid crap. It happens. Do you know what's happening right now? And this is Lena, who is somewhat feminist and I think would totally be on board with like this video about that being harassment and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Guess what? People are now branding her something of a rapist, and she sexually abused a small child.
That is what gets the Google hits and makes AdSense on the blogs. I'll say that. That's a great one to just throw out there, like, angry blog post about Lena Dunham being a rapist.
Yeah, and now Lena's very unhappy and went into a, quote, rage spiral, as I recall, because she's being called a sexual predator.
Can't win, man. Haters gonna hate.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Is she binging on Taylor Swift songs just on repeat?
When you call something like that being a sexual predator, it kind of diminishes what something like Jerry Sandusky, that whole affair.
Yeah.
When we call these guys predators, sexually speaking,
we need to
diminishes
focus.
Actual rape.
Yeah. Because, I mean, yes, we have a problem with the guy who followed this woman for 4 minutes. Like, he made a woman
that
very uncomfortable walking down
there. That was effing creepy.
And yet, like, the real problem goes more to, like, how do we identify people that are capable of stalking, etc. Like, those are the people that are the most concerned in society. It's like, is this guy just, like, not getting it, or is he genuinely a threat to women because he has the gumption to, like, walk around? Maybe he's just the type of guy who only would do, like, the public, hey, let's walk around. That's not cool, and yet that doesn't necessarily sound like a guy who's just like, I'm going to follow you.
That's what look, if you are a good-looking Latino gentleman and you walk by a woman and you go, damn, mommy, and she doesn't turn around and acknowledge it, that's the end of it. I'm just saying damn mommy shouldn't be a crime. And if you were damn mommied, shut the F up about it. Be happy that you're wearing something nice and you fill it in nicely.
See, I guess this is the final like point where we disagree on this. Because to me, like the damn mommy moment.
Yeah.
In that moment, it's just I understand why women just want to like turn around and be like, wait, hold on. Like, let's put like a penis on me so that we can have a real conversation about what you just did.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think that works? Like, seriously, why do you think that works?
It absolutely doesn't. I'm with you. But you never know unless you try.
See, but it's just like your odds are so low. Why can't you find a more likely way to yield some gash tonight? Like, I don't understand
because why. Because he just wants that much more. Like, he probably has gash yielders planned for the night, but he's just walking to McDonald's right now. And why not throw another fish in the boat?
No, you have plenty of feelers out there. You don't need to maximize, like, it's just ridiculous to try to maximize, like, your market share, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Like, to that level. It's just like, one a day is really good, so I don't understand, like, why you think you have to try to have sex every last second of the day. Because you can't. You physically can't do it.
Maybe you can't, Mo.
Just get tired after a certain time, man. Come on. You hit 32. Don't even try to give me that.
Are you kidding me? I just dodge sex now because I'm that embarrassed by the performance if I did give it. It's like, can I just hug you instead? Then I will go masturbate and not please you. Oh, Lord. All right, let's get the hell out of here. This is Papa's Basement. I'm John Papagiorgio. He is Howard Flood. The show's site in papasbasement.com. Please visit that. It's got all the shows we do, a bunch of my writing as well, and all the social media links if you ever want to get a hold of us. I'm at Papa's Basement. You are what this week on Twitter?
Vinny Van Gogh. Check me out on Indiegogo.
Vinny Van Gogh. Look it up on Indiegogo. Howard has put together a video training lawyers about copyright law. It's pretty good, actually. It's
musicians about copyright.
That too. It's, you know, it's got a puppet, like a really well-articulated puppet, not some sock puppet. not the Mankind Sokka. This is a real puppet. So it's worth watching just for a puppet, if you're a puppet fan. I'm at Papa's Basement again. I think I already said that. Find us on iTunes. Find us on Stitcher. Those are two nice podcast subscription services. Just look up Papa's Basement. Also look up Papa's Football Podcast. That is, you guessed it, my football show that I do with Howard. And last but not least, thespookiescomic.com, a comic I write with a friend of mine. All right, till the next one, Howard. Damn, mommy.
're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.